You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
Resurrection Sunday, Matthew 28, verse 1, says this: early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where the body is lying." Lord, we thank you for Resurrection Sunday. God, we thank you for this moment, this opportunity in our Christian calendar to come and just thank you and give you glory and remember, meditate on, and think about what it means in our lives that you died and rose again. God, I pray that for each of us that you would draw near right now. Lord, would you speak to us? God, help me as I deliver this message as you would want it to be done. Father God, we just thank you for your presence in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read that same story, that same moment, but from a different perspective now. I'm going to read it from the Gospel of John. It's the same event, but it carries some slightly different information. John 20, verse 1 says, "On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb, so she went running to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, and the one who Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him.' At that, Peter and the other disciple went out heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first." This is John writing about himself, by the way. "Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then following him, Simon Peter also came. He entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but it was folded in a separate place by itself. The other disciple who had reached the tomb first, then also went in, saw and believed." John here in his gospel paints a picture for us of these linen cloths or grave clothes. And he describes the two different kinds of grave clothes and the two different ways or places that he finds them in. Firstly, you have the grave clothes that would have covered the body of Jesus, and they were described to be lying there. Or another translation says that they were still lying in its place. And then John describes the linen cloth that would have been placed over Jesus' face, and it is said that those cloths were folded up and placed separately to the other cloths. This picture is in stark contrast to another set of grave clothes that we also found written about in Scripture, the grave clothes of another man who was also resurrected from the dead, the grave clothes of a man named Lazarus. You might be familiar with his story, but we're going to look at his resurrection story today too. It's found in John chapter 11, verse 38, where it says, "Jesus once more was deeply moved. He came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance." Sounds very similar to the cave that Jesus was placed in. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been in there for like 4 days. And then Jesus said, "Did you not believe that... Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when Jesus had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Hey, Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Can you imagine it? Imagine this picture. There's Lazarus hopping out of his tomb, more like Penguin walking out of his tomb, because unlike Jesus, he's still bound by his grave clothes. His grave clothes are still wrapped around his body. His grave clothes still covering his face. He was alive, and yet he was clothed as though he were dead. And those grave clothes were keeping him bound, were keeping him from moving freely. The NLT translation says that Lazarus came out still bound in grave clothes. Now, this picture of Lazarus bound by his grave clothes, it's come to mean something for each and every one of us, because the grave clothes represent something for us. They represent our old, dead life. It represents a pre-resurrection life that each of you have. The grave clothes represent everything that Jesus died to save and set us free from. It represents the sin in our life. It represents our addictions, our ungodly attitude. The grave clothes represents our damaging mindsets, our destructive behaviors, our guilt, our condemnation. Grave clothes are everything that is trying to hold you back from the new life that God has given you freely through Christ. Here's the problem. Too many of us are still walking around wearing our grave clothes. But Jesus' instruction was this: take off the grave clothes. Friend, the old you is dead. But how often do we still walk around wearing old clothes? Listen to this in Romans 6. It says, since you have been united with him in death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our sinful selves were crucified with Christ. That's the old life. And so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know that we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now he lives for the glory of God. So you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Friend, you are made new. You are alive in Christ. Come on, old things have gone, new things now come. Oh, but Bex, I'm just this, you don't even know what's gone on. No. That may have been who you were, but that is no longer who you are now. Oh, but Bex, you just don't know that was what I did. No. Let me tell you now, that is what you did then, but that is no longer the new you and what the new you does now. Come on. And we might say, oh, but Bex, this is what, these thoughts and these things, and this is what I just keep thinking. No, that is the way you used to think, but that you have been made new in Christ. And what does Jesus tell a newly resurrected Lazarus? He tells him to take off the grave clothes. Take off the grave clothes. Paul said it like this in Ephesians 4, verse 22. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. He's saying to us, put off your old self, take off the grave clothes, put on your new self with the new clothes. But it's not that easy, is it? It's harder than it sounds sometimes. And we can pray, and we should, for the removal of our grave clothes. We can pray and we can say, God, what do you need me to take off? Lord, help me to leave this stuff behind. God, help me to live like I'm dead to the old life and alive in the new life. Oh, and we should be doing that. Prayer is such a powerful tool accessible to us, and we need to use it in the area of our grave clothes. We also need to put in place practical steps, right? Like there are practical things we can do to leave the old life behind. We can throw certain things away. We can stop listening or watching or doing certain behaviors. We can remove ourselves from certain environments or break certain relationships that are continuing to pull us back in through temptation into that old life. And we should do all of those things as well. And we can be front-footed about it too. We can not just take off old clothes, but listen, there's new clothes that we should be putting on as well, right? We've got to not only remove the old self, but we've got a new self to put on. And the Bible talks about what we can put on. It talks about putting on the armor of God. It talks about putting on Christ. It also says in Colossians, we're encouraged to clothe ourselves in things like compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And boy, oh boy, we should do all of that as well. But can I tell you, the greatest tool that we have at our disposal to help us with our grave clothes is one another. Lazarus did not unwrap himself. Jesus' instruction, take off the grave clothes and let him go, was to those around him. Not just to Lazarus, it was to those around him. He said to them, remove the grave clothes. We all need others to help us leave our old life behind. That's why we won't shut up about small groups, because small groups help us to leave the old life behind, right? We've all had moments when we've been out at a social situation and we've come home from that social gathering and we've looked at ourselves or caught ourselves in the mirror. And we've seen that we've got something in our teeth or something coming out of our nose or something stuck in our hair. And the first thing we ask ourselves is, oh my goodness, how long has that been there for? And the second thing we ask ourselves is, why did nobody tell me? Why did nobody tell me? Friend, we all need people who are going to say to us, hey, you've got something in your teeth. Hey, Liz, you got something up your nose. We all need people who are going to be willing to say to us, hey, that comment that you made, that was kind of like the old self talking. We all need people who are going to say, hey, Bex, kind of feel like that response, like tell me about that, because that didn't seem like the new Bex. That seemed kind of like the old Bex was responding right then. You know, one of the things that I love about kids, and I used to be a teacher, I worked with kids a lot, but is their honesty, right? They just say it how it is, don't they? And I'm really blessed because my boys, I've got two boys, and they're very kind to their mummy. They always tell me that my outfit looks lovely or that my nails are pretty or whatever. They're really good boys. But every now and then, they will look me up and down and go, Mum, what on earth are you wearing? I tell you, we all need people who are going to hold us accountable for the clothes that we are wearing. We all need people who will say, that old thing, that needs to go. We all need people who will say, hey, that old attitude, it's got to go. That bitterness, it's got to go. That old language, it needs to go. That old condemnation that you're still living under, it needs to go. Take off the grave clothes. And find others who will help you with your new outfit. We all need it. I'm going to ask the band to come and join me now. I'll get Keys to come up for this next part. Because I just want to tell you why it's so important. Why this is all so important. Why is it so important for you to take off your grave clothes? Because we need to take them off because they keep us bound. Oh, for sure, 100%. We need to take them off because they're holding you back from, you know, they're holding you in an old life when God's got a new life for you. And so we need to take them off, absolutely, for that reason. But more than all of that, your empty grave clothes are evidence of a life resurrected. And that is why we need to make sure we leave them in the grave. Let's go back to Christ's resurrection for this one. John 20, verse 3. At that, Peter and the other disciple went out heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then following him, Simon Peter also came. He entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded in a separate place by itself. The other disciple who had reached the tomb first then went in, saw and believed. He went in, he saw and he believed. We need to notice something here. It was the grave clothes that made them believe. It was the grave clothes that made them believe. These grave garments were arranged in a unique way. And when Peter and John saw them, they believed. Now, in my imagination, over the years, as I have read this passage multiple times, I have imagined that when it says lying there, it means just thrown aside, right? Like maybe in a crumpled heap. Maybe like your kids leave their towels lying on the floor in the bathroom. Can you imagine it with me? Perhaps maybe it's a haphazard pile alongside the neatly folded pile. But no. As I researched this more and more, I realized that these grave clothes were not tossed aside. They were not left in a pile. The word lying does not merely refer to the fact that they were just left on the floor of the tomb, but rather the word used here means that they were lying precisely as the body had lain in them. The grave clothes were in the exact position as they would have been when Jesus was, when it was occupied by Jesus. The linen cloths would have been bound around the body like bandages, bound around, starting from the feet and working its way upwards, possibly stopping at the neck, and then a separate cloth would have been used and wrapped around his head. Aromatic spices like myrrh and aloes would have been used with these wrappings. And so you can just imagine how these grave clothes would have been after 3 days of being wound around the body. They would have been maybe even hardened just a little bit and began to create this cocoon around him. And if someone were to try and steal a body, as was the accusation and also the alternative theory to resurrection, was that Jesus' disciples stole the body. But to get a body out of this now cocooned wrapping, you would have expected that they would have needed to rip open these layerings. You would have expected that at least they may have even had to cut them open, but no. Lying precisely as the body had lain in them. This was no messy, hurried crime scene with linen thrown in all directions. This was a miraculous resurrection with no other reasonable explanation. These grave clothes became evidence. They were proof of life. They were proof of resurrection. And I want to suggest to you today that so too are your grave clothes. My grave clothes, your grave clothes are evidence of a resurrected life. They are evidence, they are proof of new life. My grave clothes, the dead life that I left behind in the grave, it's my testimony, and it's my grave clothes that testify as proof of my new life found in Jesus. And when I look back at what he brought me out of, I know without a shadow of a doubt that there is no other explanation than the fact that he is a God who can resurrect dead things. Because when I look at my grave clothes, all I see is miracle after miracle after miracle. My resurrected life, not only does it testify to me, not only is it proof to me, not only is it evidence to me of a resurrecting God, but my grave clothes lying in the tomb are also proof to others. They shout about a God who gives life. The grave clothes that I left in a tomb tell others that he is a God of resurrection. I am no longer the same, and only a resurrection God could have taken my broken, lost, anxious, burned out, sinful life and turned it around for good. Let me tell you today why you need to take off your grave clothes. To testify to your family of a resurrecting God. You need to take off your grave clothes so that you can testify to your workplace of a resurrecting God. You need to take off your grave clothes so that they become proof of new life to your kids, to your friends, to your colleagues, to your teachers, to your high school, that God resurrected me and my grave clothes are still in the grave. Is the new me different to the old me? Does it tell a story of death to life? What do others see when they look at my life? Do they see proof of resurrection? Take off the grave clothes so that others look, see, and say, I believe. Come on, right now, right where you are. If you have got some old grave clothes left sitting in a tomb, would you join me in giving God praise right now for every wholeness and moment of restoration? And come on, he's a God of resurrecting life. And right now we can give him praise that we get to step out of our grave clothes. You got to take off your grave clothes. Got to find people who can help you with your new clothes so that others can look, see, and say, I believe. Father God, we thank you so much that you are a resurrecting God. We thank you that our old life is gone and our new life has begun. Lord, help us in areas of our life where we need to remove grave clothes, where we're still holding on to old things that we need to take them off. Father, would you reveal areas to our life where we're still wearing grave clothes? And God, place people around us who will help us with our new outfits. God, we actually just want to give you the glory. God, we want our life to be evidence of your new life. We want our life to be proof of a resurrecting God. And so, Lord, help us to live our testimony well. Help us to live our new journey of no more grave clothes in a way that honors and glorifies you. I want to pray one more prayer today with somebody in the room. And you know, there are many of you that have come to church today on Resurrection Sunday. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the resurrecting God, to a God who takes something old and makes it new, to take something broken and makes it whole. Today, if you do not know the resurrecting God, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to pray in just a moment. But I truly believe there are going to be people walking out of this place today, leaving old grave clothes behind with a new life in Christ, brand new starting today. God made you. He loves you. He called you by name. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Our sin, it separates us from God. And right now on Easter Sunday, we celebrate the fact that when Jesus came and walked a sinless life on earth, he died a sinner's death, and when he died on that cross, he paid the debt that you and I were due for our sin, and he extends to every single one of us today his grace, forgiveness for your past, new life right now, a hope for your future, and an eternity with him. And if that is you today, if you don't know him, if you're saying, Bex, I feel like I'm still sitting in a tomb in grave clothes, then right now, today's your day. I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to invite you to join me in praying that prayer. You can pray it in your heart. I'll pray it out loud. I'll just lead you in it. But this is your prayer. It's not my prayer. It's your prayer. Make it your own. Just follow it along with me in your heart. We say, God, today I surrender my life to you. I know I've sinned, but I believe, Jesus, you died for me. I turn from my old life and I turn to you. Come in and be the Lord of my life. Make me brand new today. I choose from this day Resurrection Sunday 2025 to live for you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.